All right. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be gathered together this morning. I myself have been really kind of replenished this week. We had preaching and teaching convention at Ozark, which is just kind of a big fancy way for a bunch of pastors to get together. We have some guest speakers to come in, and you get to hear some good sermons and fellowship with some past graduates. I got to see some of my friends that have graduated and went on to do some ministry elsewhere. And so if you guys get a chance, I'd encourage you to check that out for next year. Maybe try to attend that conference. It's 3 days. It's fairly inexpensive in terms of a conference. I think the tickets are like right at $100 for 3 days of lessons and sessions and some good fellowship, so I'd encourage you to check that out. But as you guys know, we've kind of been in this this series over the last couple of weeks of trying to define what the church is. We kind of have been on this idea of identity. It's something that I think we've kind of come to the conclusion that we as a country may have lost our identity. As people struggle with identity, people struggle with identity on a daily basis. And so through this series, we've kind of tried to aim to point to the identity of the church. And so if you remember the first week, we talked about how the church is the bride of Christ and how throughout the entire Old Testament, we get this beautiful image of covenant, of marriage, and we could go through that whole message again, but I don't want to take the time this morning. But the kind of big takeaway from that message is that the covenant was destroyed when we sinned. We had the covenantal language with the bride, and now we're married and we're in covenant again, so we should enjoy the fact that we are in covenant and aim to meet what God's asked of us. And then last week we talked about how the church is the body of Christ. And we kind of dove into this idea of Acts 2, and man, the Christ calls us to do so much as the body, and we kind of talked a little bit about that, what that means to be the body of Christ, that we are the hands and feet, as Scripture tells us, that we are to do the things that God asked us to do. But I think this week I really want to try to tie these two messages together and just kind of give you some good practical application to kind of put the bow tie on these last two messages on the concept of being the body and the bride of Christ. But before we can kind of talk about what we have to do to be kind of like really put those two together, I think it's important that we kind of touch on this idea of identity. I heard a sermon at Ozark this week, and the main premise of the sermon was that you have to know who you are and whose you are. See if we're truly the body and the bride of Christ. That gives us the who we are, but it also gives us the whose we are, because we're married to the identity that we are the body and bride of Christ. As we look at that in a deeper level, we have some responsibilities that come as a part of being that body. As we attempt to try to see what those responsibilities are, I think that there's no better place to look than in Acts. Okay, so as we find our identity, that we are the bride of Christ, I think that it's important to note that in an identity, your identity must be rooted in something. Something, right? Like if you're going to be a multimillionaire, your identity is rooted in the fact that you have a lot of money. if you're going to be a pastor, your identity is rooted in the fact that you love God. If you're going to be a farmer, your identity is probably rooted in the fact that you know how to handle crops and, frankly, a lot of disappointment, as a lot of my friends in the Midwest have found out over the last couple of years with the storms and the bad weather. If you're going to be a teacher, your identity probably is rooted in the somewhere along the lines of the fact that you love kids. So we can deduce the fact that if we're going to be the body and bride of Christ, our identity must be rooted in Christ, because we can't be the body or the bride of Christ if our identity is not like Christ. And so, what does it mean to be like Christ? What does it mean to have our identity? What does Christ call us to do so that we can be the same identity as the thing that we're rooted in? And I think the answer falls in line with evangelism. Our scripture is not up there because we had the wrong one, but it's going to be Acts 4:18-20. Now, to give you a little context, because we were in Acts 2 last week, we're going to jump ahead a little bit to Acts 4. This is a Peter passage, and Peter's one of my favorite Bible characters. He's a guy that's not afraid to tell it like it is, and I love that about Peter. I wish I could be a little more like Peter. But to set up this story, Peter is going about sharing the gospel. We've just seen the first establishment of the church in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, the huge celebration, and now Peter's traveling the countryside sharing the gospel. And they get to this point, into this town where Peter and John are, and they're sharing, and the Jewish rulers of the day, the Sanhedrin, come, and they don't like what Peter and John are teaching, and so they have them arrested. Now, I am grateful that I get to come here and preach on a Sunday morning and not have to worry about getting arrested, that I can come and share the gospel and not worry about the things that they faced. Or, in fact, I have friends around the world that are scared to go to church this morning, friends that are leading missions in places like China and the Middle East that don't get the opportunity to come and share the gospel. So we need to be thankful for this opportunity we have this morning. But picking up in verse 18, it says, "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" Man, that's pretty condemning to me as a person that really struggles with what I'm gonna do after college. I think about, you know, over the last couple of years, what God has tried to show me, where I was going to go, what I was going to do. In fact, many of you kind of know my story, but if you don't, I'll give you a brief rundown. I was actually mowing lawns up north, making pretty good money, and one night I just kind of felt this inclination. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know exactly what it was, but I felt this inclination that told me to go online and apply to Ozark Christian College. I didn't know anything about Ozark Christian College besides my youth pastor from high school had went there. That's the only thing I knew. Never been to the campus, didn't know anyone, and man, I struggled with this idea of of calling, this idea of identity. I mean, I knew that I was God's. I knew who I was. I knew whose I was, but I didn't know what it meant to act in that act in that calling. And so I remember I got accepted and I got really excited, and then I made the drive down from Columbia, Missouri to 1111 North Main Street in good old Joplin, Missouri. It was a warm August day, and August, and I really had no idea what I was getting myself into. I remember the first week of classes really being terrified and still just not knowing what God had in store for me. But as I began to reflect, I began to think, I kind of realized that God was showing me my calling, and it was to share the gospel. It wasn't just to share the gospel, but it was to share the gospel with the military community. If you guys don't, I mean, most of you probably know, but I spent some time in the Army, and I'm thankful for that experience. And if I'm honest, the church hasn't done a great job about ministering to that community. And so that was, in turn, through my time at Ozark, through the last couple of years, that's helped me find my calling. And so that's something that you guys should be encouraged to look at. If you know who you are and whose you are, you should begin to start looking for the calling that God's placed on your life. Now, maybe the call is to be right where you're at, to stay doing what you're doing, to keep farming or teaching or working or leading a Sunday school class or just attending church on Sunday. But take some time to ask God, what are you calling me to do? See, I think, like, as we read through this text, there's one key phrase, two words really, that kind of highlight this idea of finding your calling, figuring out what to do with that identity. And those two words are cannot and stop. Those two words are apart from each other, cannot and stop, both have implications. Stop would tell you not to go anymore. Or maybe you think of a stop sign or a stop light. But those two things together really talk about give us a reference point for the actions God calls us once we understand the identity that He's placed on our lives. Because when we put them in the context of the rest of the passage, we get this clear picture. We cannot stop speaking all in which we have seen and heard. Think about that for a second. When you're facing a challenge of your life, when you're in a tough time, is this the thought that reigns over you? That I cannot stop speaking all in which I've seen and heard? Because Peter and John in this passage are in a very tough time. They're on trial. They might get put to death. Just later on, actually, someone gets stoned to death just for preaching a good sermon. And so, man, these guys are in the midst of some of the hardest moments of their life. And their response is not, I'll go be a part of the world, I'll forget my identity. Rather, their response is, I'm so firm in my identity that I'm going to speak boldly in the face of adversity. That's a challenge for all of us, especially me. I think about when I go home over the summers and Typically, I'll work for a landscaping company. I'll go back and mow grass or do some sort of landscaping for them. And the challenge is that I'm one of the only Christians at that company when I go back. And so a lot of the talk is not the talk that I'm accustomed to at Ozark. Like, at Ozark, we talk about things like, did you read this commentary, or did you see this message from Shane Wood? Or, in fact, last night I had a really deep theological discussion about just John, some of John's writings, and we were talking about John 1 and the kind of implications linking John to Genesis, and it was, man, those conversations are fruitful, but during the summer, they're hard to come by. And when I think about this message, I think about if my identity is rooted in Christ as the body and the bride of Christ, then I should be willing to talk about God even in the situations where God isn't the forefront of the conversation. God should be the identity that we carry everywhere we go, even in times of adversity. See, though we have individual callings, my calling is to do some sort of facet of ministry in the military community. Some of you, maybe it's to be a firefighter or a teacher or even a retiree, like a few people in the building. We all have one mission that we share in common, and that is to share the good news of Christ, to share the gospel. Dr. Shane Wood, one of my heroes and good friends, says this: do not be mad at the role you are being asked to play. See, the value is not what our worth is according to our perception of value, but our value lies in how God views us. See, our value is not in the fact that the world has a perception of us as the bride or as the church. Our value lies in the fact that God sees us as the bride. As God sees us as the body, God sees us in a covenantal relationship with Him. I think there's two kind of final application points. This sermon's kind of been a mess this morning. I'm kind of all over the place, and I apologize for that. But I want to give you two kind of things as we close this morning to give you kind of a strong call, maybe convict you a little bit as we go out this week. The first is we have to live our lives in a way that conveys the gospel message. If we're going to be the body of Christ, we have to live our lives in a way that conveys the gospel message. This means, much like what I talked about, when I'm in those situations with the people that don't follow God, when I'm in the situations with the skeptics of Christianity in my life, I need to live in a way that my life shows them what the gospel truly is. So my challenge to you is, are you living your life in that way? When you go out in the world, maybe it's to the grocery store or you go out to eat, are you living your life in a way that conveys the gospel message? There's several facets to conveying what the gospel message is. I mean, we get images of hope and love and patience and kindness and peace and joy. Are you conveying these things as you go through your day-to-day life? And I think the final kind of application point is we must proclaim the gospel boldly. We must proclaim the gospel boldly. In a world that has no sense of identity, where people change their gender orientation on a daily basis, and people have no idea what to do, man, we have to be a light in the dark place. We have to go out and proclaim the gospel boldly in a way that challenges the ways of the world. I think about Peter and John in the situation. They could even go to prison. They could be stoned to death. And yet, what do they say? They say, "We cannot stop speaking all in which we have seen and heard." When the tough times come on your life, are you willing to take that same stance? Are you willing to tell the enemy, be so bold as to tell the enemy, "I cannot stop speaking all in which I have seen and heard. I cannot stop speaking of the God who's got me, who's rooted in my identity." Because we are the body and the bride of Christ. So I conclude this morning with a challenge for all of you, including myself. As we go out this week, take the opportunity to be bold in faith and to proclaim the gospel with both our mouth and our actions. As you go out this week, try to share the gospel with somebody. Maybe it's by the way that you talk to them. Maybe it's a conversation where you actually open scripture and tell someone, or maybe it's just the fact that you were a nice person in a cashier's line at the grocery store. Whatever you do, represent the body and the bride, and do it well, because after all, our identity must be rooted in the thing that we claim to be. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning, to preach on this idea of us being your hands and feet, us carrying out the identity that you've bestowed upon us. We're thankful for this identity. We're thankful for the cross, for your Son, who you sent to die for us. Help us to be bold in the way that we share the things that we have seen and heard, both this morning and in past and future messages we might hear about your goodness and your love and your mercy. It's in your heavenly name we pray. Amen.